Once the application comes up on the queue of the particular examiner, they usually begin reviewing the application by conducting their own prior art search to supplement that of the applicant. And upon completion of that, then they're going to obviously turn to assess the patentability of the claimed invention. So there's different types of rejections the examiners can make. The first are these non-prior art rejections. That is, the examiners can make these without having to reference their search results. These are utility, patentable subject matter, et cetera. But the second type of rejections I want to note are these prior art-based rejections, right? In contrast, if they're making a lack of novelty, arguing the claims are not novel, or if they're obvious, right, they represent only a trivial advancement over our current understanding, this requires the examiner to make a comparison of the claimed invention to the background art already known. And these latter rejections, we contend for that reason, are more time intensive. They require, right, the examiner to conduct this prior art search and to make this delicate balance. And in particular, we think obviousness rejections may be the most time intensive, right? If you have novelty, it's usually just one piece of prior art that discloses all the elements, right? Obvious, you've got one piece that discloses part of it, and you have to cobble together other pieces of prior art to render the invention obvious. And finally, I should note, right, that patent applications are presumed valid, right? So that is, if the examiner does not put forth any rejections, they're supposed to allow the application. Okay, so there's plenty of anecdotal evidence that time allocations or that examiners are not given enough time to do a good job, right? Although it takes several years from filing your patent application for the applicant to receive a final patentability decision from the patent office, on average, right, the examiner only spends 19 hours reviewing an application. And in this 2010 study commissioned by the Patent Office, there's a number of great quotes from examiners, right, suggesting that they need more time to do their job. So this leads us to the following hypothesis, right? We assume that if examiners are given sufficient time, they will conduct their examination practices in line with the proper patentability standards. However, binding constraints may force examiners of otherwise competent disposition to decrease the extent they can search for prior art, which would lead them to make less time-intensive obviousness rejections and lead to elevated grant rates. And so I've put our hypothesis on the slide, right, which is if a time-constrained examiner is given less time, you're going to see them citing less prior art, making less obvious rejections, and granting more patents than otherwise. So how would we go about testing this hypothesis? Well, we're going to exploit the fact that examination time decreases upon certain types of examiner promotions. As examiners get promoted up the GS scale, right, each promotion is associated with an approximately 10 to 15% decrease in the time that they're given to review applications. So you see GS-level examiners here have about twice as much time as a GS-14 examiner. Now, of course, the time allocations are also driven by the technology in which you're reviewing. So here, the compound tools is one of the least complex technology, and I just show that along with artificial intelligence, which is one of the most complex technologies. Now, although we contend the most significant change associated with a promotion that bears on the examiner's decision to grant a patent application is the time allocated to review, there is, upon a promotion to GS 13 to 14, a change in the scrutiny of their work, right? So GS level examiners on 13 below have a supervisor or primary that's signing off on their work. You can work towards that. When you're GS-13, if you successfully complete an evaluation period, you can become GS-13 with partial SIG, right, where you can sign off independently on your first office actions. If you complete a second evaluation period, right, then you can become GS-14 where you're independently able to sign off on of all of your own work. Okay, so what we're going to do from our methodology is we're going to track how individual examiners' grant rate evolves over the course of their career, including when they experience these time-limiting promotions. To do this, we're going to need a lot of data, right, at an individual examiner level. And so we collected data, and at the time we wrote this patent, on all 1.4 million patent applications from PAIR. from about a decade-long period. And when we collected this information, we also collected information on who the examiner was associated with the application, the types of rejections they made, whether the application ultimately was issued or not. And at the time, this was a pretty non-trivial data exercise. This was actually before the Patent and Trademark Office has released a lot of the PAIR data in a much more user-friendly format today.